for what you had done for him. And you asked, where were the nine who knew better? So, Father, we don't want to behave like the nine Jews whom you healed with the Samaritan. And they decided not to come. For the past 10 months, you seem to are going out and are coming in. Life has ebbed out of us. It's a new that we've lived and moved. And your grace has brought us thus far. We've gone through various challenges, various difficulties. Some we just didn't understand what was going on. And yet we're alive, we see each other's face. Come, Holy Spirit, and minister through your word. Lord Jesus, in your name, all of us have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. I once again want to welcome Reverend Paul Adu to under VOC. And I also want to welcome all of you. I want to thank you for the platform you've given me to minister unto you. First and foremost, I also want to express my deepest gratitude and appreciation to this church. And then to some individuals. Quite recently, I had some challenge. My car was almost off the road. It to suddenly stop in a street and quickly have to resuscitate it and all kinds of things. One of you has graciously accepted to. My own church said I should park the car. And one of you decided to brave it and send it to a mechanic. And it has cost him a fortune. And I want to say that may the good Lord replenish 100-fold. And above all, he's giving me his car. One of his vehicles. Also, you go around and when the car is ready, I'll invite you. May the Lord bless the brother and sister. Amen. But there's a woman over here. I don't know if she's here. Her name is Marianne. Is she here? Where are you? Come, come. Yes, be bold enough and come. We're going to talk about healing. Come and tell them exactly what happened. I would want you to say it. If I say it, they may think I'm fabricating. Come and tell them what the Lord has done. It doesn't matter. You be bold enough and say whatever the Lord will tell you.
Good evening. I have to say, Osofo has put me very much on the spot. But I just want to say that this year, the Lord has been very gracious to me. I've had a lot of challenges. I've had a lot of worries. But I really have the peace of the Lord. He's done a lot for me. And I'm sure before the end of the year, I'll share a lot more details of my testimony with you. Okay. Thank you, Osofo.
Now, what you said, you've just scratched the surface. Auntie Marianne called me and said, Osofo, somebody is dying at 37 Military Hospital. The lady has delivered, but she's in a coma. It was the sister who told me that she's had a cardiac arrest after the delivery. And for about 15, 20 minutes, we kept praying on the phone. Then one day I had arrived from Mampon. Then a tall lady from the appeal court, a judge, came and said, she was after, are you the one? Uh-huh, come. You are not Marianne. Uh-huh, come. Forgotten the name. Come, see it.
Yes, it's me. About 3 weeks ago, I believe, I called my friend. I hadn't heard from her for a number of days. So when I called her,
She was actually on the she was crying and said her sister had delivered. She had had preeclampsia. The baby was okay, but her sister, her condition was so bad. Her heart had stopped for a while. She was on a ventilator, and she was just beside herself with grief. So this was, I think it was a Sunday, but the Monday was a holiday. So I called Mrs. Thompson, and I asked for Reverend Paul Edu's number. Then I called him, and I told him what my friend was going through. So we prayed over the phone, and then from time to time, I would give him reports. After a while, she was on the machine for a while. And then after a while, her mind, it seemed as if she was going off her mind because she was not coherent. And so I called him, I gave him a report. And then by God's grace, I traveled. So when I left, I wasn't quite sure. So when I returned, and then my friend told me her sister was well, and that she, in fact, I gave her Reverend Paul Edu's number before I left. And so they continued praying for her. And by God's grace, she's fine. The baby has been adored, and everything is okay. So we give glory to God.
Thank you very much. One other detail the sister gave me was that when there's a cardiac arrest, you won't last for more than 5 minutes. But the specialist told the sister that somehow he kept giving the lady oxygen, kept pressing, kept doing those things. Then after 15 minutes, she woke up. Then when they did the scanning, she said, normally after 2 minutes, your brain will go off. You'll be brain dead. For 15 minutes, he was doing those things. And when they did the scanning, the brain was as fresh as ever. And she said, Sofu, this one is a miracle. So don't tell me God does it. I don't even know the lady. You see, I call Maria. And meanwhile, God knows. He knows, isn't it? We're going to talk about healing. But let's go to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1:21. What is that? 2 Peter 1:21. Can I hear any of you, or it has been highlighted over there? 2 Peter 1:21. What is there? That will be the premises of my argument. For prophecy never came by the will of man. The word of God was not fabricated by some people who sat down and said, we're going to write these things down for posterity. No. But holy men of God spoke. What did they do? They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Some translations do say they were carried along. It's the same from the same Greek word. They just didn't say things. They just didn't sit down and then come out with something. But they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were led by the Holy Spirit to say the things that we find in the Bible. So I'll first and foremost say that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Amen. That's my premises. He, every comma, every full stop, whatever things that we find over there, were all written down by men who were led by the Holy Spirit. If you know that you are handling a spiritual thing, then definitely you know that when God speaks, he has spoken. And it will surely come to pass. Amen. Now, Jesus also gave us something about the word of God. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 10. John chapter 14, verse 10. John chapter 14. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Listen, Jesus himself. This is not Paul. Jesus himself. He says, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Amen. So whatever Jesus gave us was not coming from him, but from who? The Father. Are you following my argument? Good. And you know that in John chapter 1, verse 1, you all know it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word. So the Word of God is the mind of God. Whatever we want to know about anything, you find it in the Word of God, written by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that is the basis of our foundation. Paul says Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Now let's move a little bit further. In 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 56. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 56. What is there? It was Solomon who said that thing. What is there? It said, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all the good promise which he promised through his servant Moses. Not one. Amen. Not what? One. Whatever God promised, he fulfilled it. Amen. I'm just using the word of God as my premises for healing. Now, let's go to Joshua chapter 22, if it is there, verse 45. Joshua chapter 22, verse 45. I dare not say Joshua here. It should be Joshua. Hallelujah. Somewhere I can say Joshua, but here I wouldn't say Joshua, I would say Joshua. It's 22, verse 45. There's no verse 45. It's up to 44. 34. Now, I know it's in 24. It's in 22. Let's check verse 14 and see. What is in verse 14? No. It's there. I'm very sure of what I'm saying. But what? Let's go to 21 and see if it's there. Let's go to 21 rather. 21:45. What is there? Not what? One word. Mm-hmm. Had what? Fail. All. So God is no man to tell lies. If he says what he says, it is simply true. I'll come to what I'm saying, but let's argue from this point. Of all the promises, all those who walk with the Lord are saying, Joshua said that. Solomon too has said the same thing. Now let's come to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So there's a constant. As a Methodist, we sing change and decay. And all around I see, O thou who changest not. Isn't it? We are aging. The world is changing. Everything is changing, but God is a consistent constant. You can depend on Him. Amen. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. I think 20 to 24, if there's a 24. 1 Peter. If it is not in 1 Peter, it must be in 20, is it 25? 24, 25. What is it saying? The word of the Lord, what? Forever. So get it in your heart that as long as God has said it, nothing should change you. Amen. I said, as long as God has spoken, He wrote whatever He has given to us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And He's saying, whatever the Holy Spirit has written in the beginning, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God, isn't it? And we are saying that in the beginning was what? The Word. So the Word, Ancient of Days. Somehow that's how God is referred to. Ancient of what? Days. He's ancient. The Word is ancient. You can depend on it. You can rely on it. You can put your trust in Him. Amen. So as Christians, that is where we are. Again, there's a Methodist hymn. It says, will your anchor hold in the storms of what? Yes. Our anchor is the word of God. Jesus again said something in Matthew chapter 7. From 14 downward. It says, storms may come. The rain will beat very hard. Floods will come. But whoever has laid his foundation on a rock, which is the word of God, will remain. The wind will come, the storms will come, the diseases will come, whatever. But if God says this, He has what? Spoken. Amen. Again, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, 20 to 22. Proverbs chapter 4, 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Continue. 21. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And health to all their what? Your eyes should be there. Your ears, what? Should be there. Keep them where? In your heart. And when you do that, it will be health to all their flesh. It will be health to your flesh. Healing starts with the word of God. Amen. These are tablets that we take to maintain us. After all, he says, brethren, I wish above all things that we should prosper and be in good health. Divine health. You'll be aging, but your health will remain the same. Amen. So the first thing I want you to know is that if you want healing, go first to the word of God. Listen to what God is saying. Someone will ask me, after the word, we'll be reading it. Haven't we? From some of us attended Methodist site too, from Methodist school up to today, we'll be reading it. So how do we go about it? The second point I want to raise over here. The first one is in John chapter 7. No, John chapter 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. What is there? It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Amen. And someone will ask, for how do I abide in him? Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. How do I abide in him? If you abide in me, how do you abide in God? By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his word, his spirit. Amen. So that if the spirit of God is in you, listen to me carefully. If the spirit of God is in you and his word is in there, the two will combine and give you what you want. Amen. So that he says, if we abide in him, if the Holy Spirit is in us, and his words are in us, whatever we shall ask of him, he will do it. Because we know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words will mean the same, isn't it? And in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, he says, God is no human being to tell lies. He will stand by his word. But, you see, I'm talking about the faithfulness of God. That when God says something, he does it. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm saying the word. Tonight, it is about the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. What is there? You know, Numbers says, God is not man. Now Jeremiah says, then the Lord said to me, you see, well, I'm ready to perform my word. That is this translation. Any other translation? He's what? Watching. He's watching. He will watch over what he has said. Eh? He will definitely make sure that what he says about you, he will do it. But sometimes we lose focus. Like Peter, Jesus told him, come, walk on the sea. He asked you, can I come? He said, yes, come. The wise was looking at Jesus, you could walk on the sea. The moment he began seeing the wind and the storm and the rest, he started sinking. So just as Proverbs is telling us, Proverbs 4:22, he said, your focus should be on the word of God. Don't listen to what others are what saying. There are a lot of things going on out there. I didn't hear it. I'm not sure it will be well. Like God visited Sarah in Genesis 18 and told Abraham, you've given me some good food to eat. A year by this time, your wife Sarah will have a baby. And Sarah looked at her 90-year-old womb. Hallelujah. We do not live by sight, but we walk by what? Faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he is a rewarder of those who diligent. So we are diligently seeking the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't it? Sarah looked at her womb. 90 years. The day she was born, the womb was there. When she was 16 years old, Abraham married her. To the extent that when he visited the Canaanite, some Canaanite king desired to snatch her. She was so beautiful. God went and warned them, hey, don't touch that man's wife. Hallelujah. And the man came to Abraham and said, why did you deceive me? Abraham too said, I feared for my life. And this same Sarah, I live with Abraham. They've gone through all kinds of things. If we're today, they will see all the Ghanis in Kolebu and 37. And if you have money, you fly out there. Hallelujah. They've done everything possible, and nothing was happening. So when God came and said, Sarah, at your age, you're going to have a baby. Sarah said within herself, at my age, is it going to be possible? Let's conjecture. Abraham at 100, when he sleeps, he will sleep. And Munupusa symptoms from 50 up to 90, you can imagine it. Praise the Lord. Everything had become weak. Everything. No romance, no cuddling, no kissing, nothing. When they sleep, they sleep. And God comes around and says, hey, Sarah, you're going to have a child. So what? This man, because of the small jollof I gave him. Hallelujah. But you see, in Genesis chapter 22, God caused Sarah to laugh. He named Isaac what? Laughter. Because his word defies age. His word defies time. His word defies nature. When he speaks, nature must obey him. He told the wind. When they were traveling on the boat and something went wrong, there was a big storm. And Peter came and woke him up and said, "Cry thou not, thou will perish." And when Jesus stood up, he said, "Be still." And the wind, which hasn't got ears, obeyed him. Hallelujah. That is the word of God. And the water, which got no ears, obeyed him. Isn't it? And they turned around and said, "What? What manner of man is this?" And that man is our friend. He sticks closer than a brother. He's your friend. I will sing it. What a friend we have in Jesus. You have a better deal. Praise the Lord. So that when you are sick, don't listen to what they are saying, or it will kill you. Because sometimes you'll be hearing frightening things. Things that will just hasten your death. Some people go to their doctors, they come back, they don't want even to eat. But the things they've heard over there, the doctor is pronouncing his death warrant. Very soon, if you don't take care, in 6 months' time, you'll go. But the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm what? I'm strong. Amen. So that is the word of God. Storms may come. Things may go haywire. Challenges, real challenges may come. When she called me, I even didn't know I was driving. But the moment she said, "A rich church, I say, let me park somewhere." "For a rich church, I'll park somewhere." Some, I will tell them I'm driving, but for a rich church. That's in a serious, let me park. Oh, yes, I do that. In the midst of traffic, they call. They often call several times. You've done it before. You do it. Yesterday, for example, I woke up around 30. I was studying and praying. About three people, one called me from Sunyani, one from London, one from somewhere over there, all we are dying. And I told myself, if I were asleep, what would have happened to them? But God woke me up. I was there when something stabbed me, and I know it has always been the Holy Spirit. And I went there, and someone would say, "So for I urgently need you. Sorry for disturbing you in your sleep." I called and said, "For Guru." Immediately after that prayer, somebody called from Sunyani. "So for I'm in a hotel room in Sunyani, and nobody knows I'm here, and I'm dying." "Where from you?" "From Bethel, Takoradi." "He's gone over to Sunyani for a program, and she had been attacked in that hotel room." So we had to pray, and we prayed through. Suddenly she says, "Oh, I'm okay." The word of God is true. It's simply what? True. You remember you were here in the all night when I called Jojo and the wife. I said, "You are my witnesses, isn't it?" And I told her she was going to conceive a girl. The girl has come. Unfortunately, she's on the WhatsApp. She's on the what? What's up? Come and see the boy looking at me. Meanwhile, the mother has gone to Adunfa for 2 years. Yes. And I warned them, don't go there. You're going to compound your issues. We just prayed and stood on the word of God. And that was it. Amen. Heaven and earth shall what? Pass away. But his word. As for the word, it won't fail you. The word won't what? It won't fail. That's the most reliable thing we have. The word of God won't fail you. So don't depend on miracles. And this. I've seen miracles. But the basis of my faith is the word of God, period. Nothing can change my mind. So you tell me you are charismatic, fine. Your charismatic Bible is the same as mine. The Jesus over there is the same Jesus here at what? Rich church. Somebody had married for 9 years, no issue. And then we say it. You go on air and they will ask you, come for Saturday prayer meeting, we will bless water for you. And you, when you drink the water, you consider this one is direct, word, direct. Here, we didn't bless water. We didn't do anything. You are all my witnesses. And she, yeah. So don't tell me here, God is not here. When you say that, you must change your attitude. You must change your perceptions about where you are worshiping and believe in the word of God. In Isaiah chapter 55, there's a controversial thing over there. Some people are so for God has said it, but why is it that? I'll explain it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55, 9 to 11. It's all about the word today. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, I do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me. It shall not return to me. You remember Jesus said, his word is like the seed. Let's go to Luke chapter 8 verse 11 or Luke chapter 11 verse 8, one of them. Look, it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of what? God. The seed is the word of what? So the word of God is like a seed. But it must go to the right place. If you plant your good seed in a farm that is not well cultivated, you don't get the needed harvest. Is that true? Yes. And he says his word is like the seed that falls on the earth. And Jesus explained it by saying that our hearts are like the field, a fertile field, you. So that when you plant the word of God in the fertile soil, definitely it will bear fruits, isn't it? You see, but we just sow the word. Anytime you are sowing the word of God, say what the word of God is what? Saying. God, your word says. And you find the Bible saying, thus saith the Lord, isn't it? And your heart is that soil. So when you want to plant, and if you want to plant healing, find the word that talks about what? Healing. Am I clear? Yes. And stand there. Your body can twist and turn and do anything. As long as God has spoken. Finito. Plant it there. The body can do anything on this earth. As long as God has spoken, fine. Because he says, if we abide in him, and his words abide what? When we ask him anything, he will do it, isn't it? I'll give you two examples. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3:20. Tonight, it is about the word of God. Put our faith in the word of God for our healing. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is one translation, but there are other translations. It says, this one is ask or what? Think. But other translations say imagine. Others say dream. Others say dare. One says request. Amen. So another one says imagine. Whatever you imagine in your head about anything. Sometimes, let me Let us come home. You'll be sitting there and thinking about somebody. And suddenly the person what comes. We're discussing you. And you are here. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But sometimes we want to be slain in the spirit before we know that God is with us. That's the problem with all of us. The anointed man of God, he came and he was pushing us down. And so the anointing is there. But he says that even the things that we imagine, we dare. I like this translation in the Amplified. It says dare. So God is saying we should what? Dare him. So I want to sit down and say, even though my friend is repairing my car, I'm waiting for the day where my Jeep Wrangler, DCR, charcoal down, silver top, brand new with all the rubbers down there, comes straight into my yard. I'm daring God. Hallelujah. I won't want to walk on the path of self-pity. I won't go there because he says whatever he imagined, it will happen. Do you know why he's saying that? According to the spirit that is at work where? In us. So be very careful the things that you think and dare and ask and imagine and request and guess. Hey, Adi, obey you. Because there's something in you that will cause what you are daring, what you are guessing, what you are desiring. He will do it. And one translation even says, beyond our highest what? Prayer. Say, then we are belittling our faith power. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. I think 11. If it's not 11, it should be 13. Romans 8, 11. Let's go to 11 first. It's there. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the Holy Spirit dwells where? The Holy Spirit dwells in where? Listen to me carefully. Don't go to International Revival Charismatic Church before you are charismatic. The church is charismatic on the day of, it became charismatic on the day of Pentecost. And Romans 8, 9 says that if you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not a child of what? You can never become a child of God without the Holy Spirit. You automatically become indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The moment, whatever way you choose to give your life to Jesus, fine. It's not a stereotype something. I've often told you mine. I was drunk. I was going somewhere. I was going somewhere. I was taking Guinness, whiskey, small whiskey, small gold. I thought everything was like today's weather. You seen today's weather? And the weather was has brought itself, so all these things were softened about. Then I went and met Joyful Way. I said, I should be there doing what the Joyful Way was doing. Or softened about. You've allowed this layman to come and preach, and you are drunk. I went forward and gave my life to Jesus. Instantly, he forgave me. Grace. What did I say? Grace. So don't try to behave as if yours is better than others. The armed robber on the cross received what? Grace. Isn't it? The prostitute at Jacob's well received what? Grace. The adulterous woman, Jesus asked those who felt they were right, if you haven't committed any crime, throw the first stone. And they all left. Madam, it is grace. Praise the Lord. The moment you chose to give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in. But there's a need for you to renew that fellowship every now and then. I've read something about the New King James Version of the Bible, Luke 24:49. It says that his Father will clothe us with power. And just as the policeman will say, stop. In the spirit realm, I have a cloth that can stop the demons. Hallelujah. I can stop the demons that are creating the disease because the Holy Spirit has come in to clothe me with power to cover my weakness. God has placed a new mantle on me. God personally has clothed me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. About 2 weeks ago, my elder daughter's husband called me. My daughter was sick. I said, Osofo, I don't know what to do. Your daughter is sick. Now he wasn't saying my wife is sick. He was saying my daughter. I said, fine. My daughter. I accepted it. I said, give me the phone. Give the phone, take it from her, and let's pray. Instantly, words were flying through my lips. I had no control over them. I started binding that spirit that was disturbing my brother. Not knowing that thing had gone on for hours on end, and he didn't know what to do. Within 5 minutes, that thing has stopped. Amen. It has what? Stopped. You are a child of God. He has clothed you with power. That is what the New King James Version of the Bible says, or the NIV says. It says, endued. You see, when you go to the endued, one translation says invested. You remove it. I like what the NIV says. If you have the NIV, who has the NIV? Yes. Can you read it? It's there. It says that until you have been clothed with power from where? So you are wearing it. Whether you see it or you don't see it, you are wearing it. Don't live in ignorance. You are wearing it. And tell the demon, I'm wearing the power of the Holy Spirit. I represent God. Like I've come here with my clerical color, isn't it? Today I was buying some, I was yearning for chips. So I drove somewhere from a place where they won't recognize me. I removed my destiny. A certain man came. After he had given the thing, he said, Osofo, which church? I said, I thought I had dodged. I said, a Methodist. He said, oh, me too, I'm a Methodist. I thought I had dodged. Look here, you can't hide. The Holy Spirit has clothed you with what? Power. And if you know that you've been clothed with power, and his words abide in you. Epi. When you are praying, you pray with confidence. What did I say? You pray with what? You don't tell, you see, the Father, you know, I'm weak and I'm this. When you say I'm weak, he says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God richly dwell where? In you. Let it dwell in you. I was describing it the other time, like a very good cake. Very good margarine, confectionery flour, very good eggs, yellowish one. Hallelujah. Essence. This is, those days we're beating with, you remember those things, those days. But this time we put it in the blender. Within some few minutes, everything is okay. With the what do you call it? Sugar and everything. You do it nicely. And when it is very good, you put it in the microwave. If you want a quick microwave. Suddenly the thing will be coming up. You remove it, the center load. My mother is from Solpa, you know what? Amen. Sometimes the quoting is not there. This one is a fancy thing. Amen. You take this one good Sunday after church service. You finish with your jollof rice. One cold bottle of a Sprite or Coke or something. Eh? When that good cake enters your lips, it melts slowly. Amen. And let the word of God richly dwell in you. That is it. Don't just pray because you are praying. Father, I need healing. What is God saying about what? Healing. What is God saying about prosperity? What is God saying about that thing that is worrying you? But tonight I said it's about the word of God. And the first thing I will say about it is in Luke chapter 5. I like the NIV. 16-17. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. There's a third point I want to raise. Luke chapter 5. NIV. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Take note of that. He often withdrew to lonely places and what? And prayed. After healing, after he had healed, he withdrew to a lonely place and what? He will often do that. Now let's go to verse 17 and see what happened after that prayer. What does the verse 17 say? It says, one day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting. And the power of the Lord was what? Present. For him to do what? Heal the sick. After the prayer, the power was present. Am I clear? I said, after the prayer, the power of the Lord was what? Present. Now let's go to Luke chapter 9, 28-29. Don't just get up and ask for healing. You pray, you seek the face of the Lord, and then something will happen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And this one you can pray. And about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to the same version is in Matthew chapter 17. He also went up, but Matthew didn't say anything about what? Prayer. All that he said was he went up onto a mountain. Then when he had gone there and he was praying up there for about 3 days, somebody brought a deaf and a dumb and epileptic, a child who was epileptic, 3 demons. The demon of epilepsy, isn't it? The demon that creates deaf and what? Dumb. And to throw the boy anyhow. And they brought the child to the disciples. Come and see, come out. And nothing was happening. They prayed and prayed and prayed for 3 days. Nothing would happen. Then Jesus, after the prayer meeting, came down. From the prayer meeting up there, came down. And when they brought the child, he rebuked that spirit. Listen to me. He did what? And the spirit obeyed him. Listen, Jesus, but you, why is it that in Matthew, they ask you, how come when you've come from the mountain, they didn't know what you had gone there to do? How come you come from the mountain and unfortunately, someone has been anointed with the spirit of sleep? Let the weak say, I'm strong. I'm talking to you. Jesus said something. The flesh is weak and the spirit is willing and the flesh is what? I don't blame him. He's worked with papers and documents and they were worrying him over there in the office. He's come to sit on there and he's sleeping. The Lord should pardon him. Amen. But they asked Jesus an important question. And you even asked it. Jesus, I'm rich. We pray, we do everything. Why is it that nothing is happening? You see, the difference was that in Luke, he went there to pray, and the power of the Lord was what? Present. In Luke chapter 5, 16 and 17, he withdrew to a lonely place, prayed, and the power of the Lord was what? Present. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, 23 and 24. I'm just giving you these examples. What else? What is there? After he had dismissed them, he had fed 5,000 men. Listen, he had fed 5,000 men. And if somebody brought 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to be fed on 5,000 men, how many women and children were there? Unnumbered, isn't it? After that miracle, the verse 24 says what? It says, when evening came, let's go to the 23. When evening came, he was there alone. Yes. He went to a mountainside to do what? Pray. Isn't it? Let's go back. 23. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to do what? Pray. So that after every miracle, there is prayer. After every miracle, there's what? So that don't deceive yourself in thinking it's a magic wand. A lot of these spurious churches have come. They've gone for some things. We're all here. You see, it was an all-night prayer meeting, isn't it? We had prayed power, then suddenly manifestation started. The word of knowledge came. And God will always confirm what? His word. And the baby is on the WhatsApp. Hallelujah. She called me herself, let us pray. After 15 minutes of cardiac arrest, the brain is as fresh, and the talking and the hallucinations immediately what? Stopped. She's sitting over there. These are the practical things we should be doing. That is what the word of God is demanding from us. These are principles. If you apply them, they work. I hope you are following my argument. If you apply them, they what? They work. But the point is that, you see, we've always put the label on us. We are Methodists. We are this. As for Methodists, like Nathaniel said, nothing good can come from Nazareth. Praise the Lord. Like Nathaniel said, oh, as for our church, we don't do these things. You see, when the devil is coming, he doesn't care about your church. He'll come and saddle you and buffet you and attack you and do all manner of things. So Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought to always pray and not to what? Give up. You sit down there. He will cause all the young men who will marry you to walk away if you don't insist. I like what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is taken by violence. And violent men take it by what? So let's say that's for my marriage. Which kind of marriage? Sit down. And be saying those things. The devil will make sure that he prevents you from getting your blessings. So you too must insist. Be assertive. Be violent. Violence doesn't mean go and pick the cutlass and kill people. That's not what he's saying. Your attitude should be that the devil, like Jacob said, if you do not bless me, Esau is there. He's coming to kill me. So I won't let you go until you what? And when the blessing came, Esau said, oh, my brother, I mean, kiss him. Did all manner of things. You think he intentionally did those things? He had prayed. He had what? He sought the face of the Lord. Prayed all night. If you know the devil is after you, me sometimes I tell myself, I've slept enough. I tell myself, hey, Kweku, you slept enough. It's better you begin to what? Pray. And pray very well because the Holy Spirit is in you, but it's not a magic one something. And if Jesus prayed till he bled, his sweat were like what? Cross of what? Blood. Jesus himself, oh, mortal being like you, you need to pray better. Hallelujah. Or else you go to those quack and spurious ministers who are around and are deceiving us. Doing all manner of things. Go and bring this. Go and... Don't go there. Amen. Praise the Lord. The word of God is simply what? True. That should be the foundation of your faith. As a Christian, you must be a warrior. Okay. Get out of the complaining lane and allow the Holy Spirit. After all, we are vessels. He says those things. He prays through us. We don't pray ourselves. He prays what? Through us. So allow him to pray through you. Amen. Then the last thing I'll say, as of all that you said, we've heard you. But you said, if the disease is there, what must we do? Let's go to Mark 11. I've told you the word of God is the seed, isn't it? You must plant the seed in a good soil. When you plant it in a good soil, it will germinate and bear what? Fruits. You see the healing. Don't put any time limit on what God is saying. Okay. You remember the centurion? He said, Lord, you just what? Speak the word. Isn't it? Peter said, we've toiled all night we received nothing, but at your what? Your word. Amen. A man came all the way from Canaan, about 20 miles after I've gone behind it. 20 miles, came to Jesus. Can we go back to Canaan? Jesus told him, go. And he went. And they were running to, oh, your servant is healed. He asked, what time? So during the so-and-so hour, they remember it was at that time that Jesus said, you should what? Go. Whatever he said, you just obey him. That's all. No argument. This is, I've taken all the, apart from the paracetamol and the word of God. Hallelujah. Apart from the nifedipine, whether 10 volumes or 20 or 30, amlodipine and all the pimpins and all the symptoms. There's a pharmacist sitting over there. I'm making wrong this thing. You take them and then add prayer and the word of God. I mean, after all, Luke was a medical doctor. Luke. Of all the miracles, the best can be found in Luke. He was a medical doctor, and yet Jesus picked him. I mean, oh. So I'm not saying don't take your drugs, but the time will come when you wouldn't need what? The drugs. That is it. I mean, oh. You wouldn't feel like taking what? The drugs. Because the best drug is the word of God. It's like medicine to the bones. I mean, oh. Hallelujah. Yes, they all obeyed him. The centurion obeyed him. I will again say, in Matthew chapter 15, 21 to 28, the woman went thrice to Jesus, and the last thing Jesus said was, the food that is meant for the children should not be given to what? But now we are children. We are sons and daughters of the kingdom, isn't it? And therefore, we have every right to eat the food that is in the fridge. I said it the other time. When my children were growing, you go and buy the bread, and when they come, they won't ask for permission. They just go straight to the fridge. If it is granite paste or cocoa, one like granite paste, another one like margarine. They will take the knife, bread knife, put it on the table, no plate, eat to their fill. Then one of them said, Dad, I said, Tommy here. The moment she says that, I keep quiet. Up to today, she gets dollars and naira and doses. You are there, I'm broke. Can you give me some money? Say, mommy, actually, send me your bar. Okay. The food that is in the fridge is also meant for what? Us. The food is medicine. Isn't it? The word of God is what? Medicine. So let's apply it. Now I want to apply it. Exodus 15, right? Exodus 15, 26. I'll explain it. I have a lot in my head. It says, if you abide in me, and my words what? If you ask anything. 15, the last portion. It says, for I'm the Lord who heals what? You. Now, what does that mean? The Hebrew word rophai means he will repair, he will mend, he will preserve, he will cure, he will heal. That is the meaning of the word rophai. So when you are sick, he will repair you. Amen. He will cure you. Praise the Lord. He will preserve you. Also, I'm dying. No, don't say you are dying. Amen. Never say that. Tell yourself, the Lord says He will preserve me. So I won't what? Die. So that is the first one. Let's go to Exodus 23, 25 and 26. Exodus 23, 25. Says, let the word of God richly. So, I mean, I want the word of God to richly dwell in me. He says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he'll bless your bread and your water. So, when you are eating, the moment you start eating, whether watch or But God, our Father, you said in Exodus 23:25, you bless my food and my what? Water. Bless it so that when it enters the body, it will heal me. Then the verse 26 says something. And I will take... No. Let's go to the 25. No. Let's go to the 25 again. It says, and I will take the sickness away from the midst of what? After he has blessed the food and the water, he will also what? Take the sickness. So when you wake up in the morning and the symptoms are coming, tell the demon. The Bible says, my God will take the sickness from the midst of me. So go away. Okay, let's go to Psalm 103. No, don't let us go before then. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, 14 and 15. Deuteronomy. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you and among your livestock. Even the domestic animals won't be barren. How much more your sons and your daughters? Amen. Then the 15 says, and the Lord will take away from you all what? He didn't say some. He said what? All. Oh. So any disease that is in you, I will look at your face and tell you it is trespassing. It is what? Sometimes we agree. So if I'm sick, it is this disease that will take me away. It will take you away. Praise the Lord. So for in my family, my grandmother had it. My mother too had it. So it's an obvious thing that I've also what? Had it. You keep saying those things. And your daughter too will have it. Amen. He says he'll take away all. Did he say some? Okay, let's go to Psalm 103, verse 3. Psalm 103, verse 3. Psalm 103. Who forgives all your iniquities? Any iniquity, any shortcoming, any blunder you have committed, consciously or what? Unconsciously. He says he will forgive you. So don't go around with some sense of guilt. Okay. And then the sweetest part, he heals all. Did he say some? What you've been going to London with? Praise the Lord. Believe that Jesus says, after forgiving you, he'll what? Heal you. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 107:20. Psalm 107:20. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Some diseases can destroy. Slowly but surely destroy you. But he says he sent forth his word. The person might not be here. The lady was at 37. Me too, I was driving at top speed to Mampong. And I had to branch to the shell around the Oyelfa Road. Parked very well. And come and see me praying. Father, send your word to whoever that lady is. And we're praying. The lady too was saying, amen. I like the amen. Because there was much emphasis on her, amen. The name of Jesus is even amen. Hallelujah. So when you are saying, when I'm praying, you are saying amen. You are telling me in the name of Jesus. In the name of what? Jesus. Amen. That is one of his names. And lo and behold, up to today, whether the sister is tall, so I want to assume that she's also what? Tall. As there, I was privileged. I say, these rich people, when you walk with them, iron sharpens what? Iron. A whole applicable judge. When I was coming, he said the police escort, come on, go and take his bag. He came and took my, the man said, whoa, I said, correct, for 1 point. A whole appeal court to what? Judge. Papa B. When you walk with rich people, we see some of these things. Amen. He sent his word there. And the sister got what? Healed. You cut the head of the snake, but when you touch the tail, it will wriggle, isn't it? But you've cut off the head. That's what it means. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 118, verse 17. Psalm 118, verse 17 says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. So when you wake up and you can't even get up, and the symptoms are telling you you're going to die, that keep telling yourself, I shall not die, I shall live. Go run. Your children should tell you, you are getting mad. Tell the person, I shall not die. By what? I will live. Keep on saying it. Keep on what? Just like you are putting some seed in a good soil. Very soon the Holy Spirit will pour his dew of blessings on it. Amen. Now let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, verses 4 and 5. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes. By his stripes, who is healed? No, we. By his stripes, I am healed. Keep saying it. Amen. By his stripes, 470-something stripes, bare body, and every stripe represented one disease. Amen. He shed his blood for all of us. Let's go to Matthew 8:17. Today I'm giving you all the bread. Bread of heaven. Isn't it? Bread of heaven. Once they feed, heal me now and evermore. Amen. Matthew 8:17. What is there? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities. So for you see, I have a weakness. You don't have any weakness. The word infirmity over there means weakness. You don't have any weakness. He took that weakness away. So that if some time ago you loved to take beer, and today you are going to stop it, and the desire for it comes, tell the desire, Jesus took away this infirmity. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have a temper. The moment it comes, nobody can hold you. Tell the temper, Jesus took away this what? Weakness. Amen. And then he says, he bore our bore. I keep saying it. I didn't attend Amfansepim. That's the best school on this earth. I wanted to go to Amfansepim. I couldn't go there. But the word is bo, isn't it? What does it mean? Is it past or present? Past, isn't it? So it means that if you want to carry the disease, it's fine. Because he's already born it. He's taking it away. Just as he bore our sins, he's also born our what? Diseases. He became poor, that out of his poverty we might be what? Rich. In Galatians 3:13, he says that when he was hanged on a tree, he took away every curse. Known and what? Unknown. So if there are curses in your home, you are not part of it. You are never what? Part of, as long as you are a child of God, you are no more part of what? Those curses. And if there are things, there are some there, tell all those curses. You are no more. Manusmi, they manusmi. Anyone come home? You, me, I keep saying that. Myself and my children and my wife, we are no more part of any disease or curse in my mother's and in my father's what? Home. Take advantage of it. Praise the Lord. Don't go around telling the whole world that you see in my father's house. So if there's something in my mother's house, tell yourself if it is there, they should take it. As for you, like Joshua said, as for me and my what? Abba, hallelujah. As for you and your children and your grandchildren, I made a prophecy. Every descendant out of me will have 4 kids. I said it, period. Every descendant. And my first daughter, her husband is the only son. And before they go, I told you, hey, you're going to have 3 boys and 1 girl. I was off by her. They have become sowing a seed. I stand everywhere, Father, I've sown a seed for my first grandchild. He should be a boy. You give birth to a boy. Hallelujah. I've started sowing a seed for the second what? Boy, blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have what? And the word of God is true. So me, I will sow. I will what? Sow. I will sow those seeds. And they are germinating like something. Hallelujah. And I have degree. When that boy, that grandson is 1.5 years, the second one should start coming. Hallelujah. Look here, let us be assertive as Christians. Don't let us behave like British Methodists. You see, we are, everything is British, very defined, very nice. Even when we are praying, they say, oh, quiet. And before the minister could finish, everybody will be found what, sleeping. Hallelujah. Tell the enemy he should pack and what? Go. When they are trying to take your blessings, forget about them. Begin to tell those who are preventing you in getting your blessings. In the name of Jesus, it is the blessings of the Lord that makes a man what? Rich. So I claim my share. That thing belongs to what? To me. They can sit in their boardroom and take their decisions. You can change it. Because you are a child of God. Hallelujah. Jesus says, whatever we shall ask, where? In his what? Name. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the Holy Spirit is in me. He's my advocate. And Jesus is also my what? Advocate. So he's my advocate here on this earth, my advocate where? In heaven. So when you go with his words, you go to the Father. That is yours, your daughter. He's been single for a while. He's not a dead wood. I'm prophesying to somebody. He shouldn't be lonely. Find him. You see, I like the way he says, a suitor fit. If your leg, your feet is size 39, and go and buy size 45, will it fit? Hallelujah. You know your leg, your size is 39 crores. Isn't it? And go and buy 37. Will it fit? God should find you somebody who what? Fit. But we are two British. God, you know, I'm single. I want to marry Jesus. Jesus is committing a lot of adultery. A lot of you are marrying Jesus. Stop it. You're not dead wood. Let's eat the egg here on this side. When we go to heaven and there are no eggs, fine. But when we go to heaven, we'll marry you. You know that? If Jesus were to marry all of you, come and see the struggle and the quarrels that will go on in heaven. Praise the Lord. You better find one and get the person to marry you. Amen. Don't put any barriers. Don't tell yourself, I can't find one. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Above all that we can dare, ask, guess, imagine, dream, beyond our highest what? Pray, because the Holy Spirit is in us. Go out there. Don't be a dead wood. Yes, I've said it. It is the will of God for us to marry, isn't it? Just as it is the will of God for you to be healed. In 1 Peter 2:24, he says, by his stripes we are what? So don't go around telling the whole world, you see, this is my disease. There's someone who keep around and say, this is my disease. It is yours, sir. Take it. Because Jesus took the disease away, but he wanted to stay with you. I take it. I won't pray for you. If you come to me and tell me this is my disease, I won't pray. But he took it away. And I want to believe that he took what? It away. So if the devil doesn't want to go, you should tell him, you should pack and what? Go. But the last thing we want to learn over here It's in Mark chapter 11, 23, and I like the King James. Then I'll give you some few minutes to ask questions. We'll pray, and then we'll go. All these things I'm giving you are Christmas parcels. I mean, no. What did I say? Christmas what? Parcels. Write them down. Every morning when you're about to sleep, you pick one. Say it about a million times and sleep. That should be your prayer. Amen. Don't marry Jesus. Mark 11, 23. I like the King James. Okay, fine. The New King James also says the same thing. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, remove the word mountain, sickness, problem, difficulty, challenge. Is it clear? Be removed and be cast into the sea. Who should do the remover? You, isn't it? And does not doubt in his heart. Don't say, hey, this thing I'm saying, will Jesus do it? If you doubt, it won't happen. But believes that those things he says, number one, will be done. He will have whatever. Did he say some? He said what? Whatever he saith. So when you go to your compound, that large compound your father gave you, and you are sitting in there, begin to imagine to see those high-rising up buildings over there in that compound. I'm talking to Kojo Hayford in the name of Jesus. Don't go and sit in that bare ground and tell yourself, my father bequeathed this thing to me. Begin to imagine that place being turned around. How God is going to do it, I don't know. I mean, no, no. And the whole ministry can tell you it is not possible. Tell them in the spirit realm that with God, all things are what? Possible. Mark 10:27, it is there. Genesis 18:14, it says, there's nothing that is too difficult with God. Amen. Oh. You see, he wills the keys of David. It's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. When he opens, nobody can what? So they can close the door on you. You go to them and then hold the keys of David and begin to what? Open. And definitely God will open. They can close it, but God can what? Open. So tonight, I've given you enough passages. I've forgotten about a few. James chapter 5, 13 to 16. It says, if there's anyone sick amongst us, I should call the elders. And the prayer offered in faith shall heal the sick. And that if you anoint the sick, the person will be what? Healed. During the last day, the last Wednesday, I will deliberately do a healing and anointing service over here. I'm asking you, will you allow me? Don't allow those people to be doing it and for us to realize, oh, this thing was true. It is true for us too. I mean, oh. And even with the anointing, you realize that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He went about healing and doing good. Each anointing has something particular about it. So don't just ask for the anointing. What do you want the anointing to do for you? Am I clear? Good. And so tonight I've given you, Jesus said in John 6:35, that I'm the bread of life. I've given you enough bread. It says that if you do not doubt in your head, and you keep saying the things that he's saying, you are married and your wife is not having, don't go around anybody and tell that person, my wife hasn't got children. You can have. Hello. Here in this church, God has given us one example. Isn't it? Rich church. Here. He has given us one example. It means that he can do for others the same thing. Amen. So begin to imagine yourself seeing your wife according to Exodus 23:26. None shall have miscarriage, nor be what? Barren. And begin to claim it. Every morning, let your wife wear, every evening rather, let her wear the maternity gown. Buy a very good one. let us anoint the maternity gown. Begin to prophesy into the maternity gown. Father, I claim fruitfulness for my wife. Let my first two children be daughters. Every woman will need a daughter, isn't it? And begin to pray like that. And let's see what the Lord will do. Keep going around and telling yourself, by his stripes you are what? You are good. Keep saying it. By his stripes you are what? By his stripes. If you are single, you go to Genesis 2:18. The Lord said, it isn't good for man to be what? Alone. Tell yourself you are never going to remain what? Single. Amen. Praise the Lord. And begin to sit down and imagine the type of woman you want to be in your life. And describe that woman. And ask the Lord to give you the spirit of discernment. So that when the lady comes, you'll be able to do what? Discern. Amen. Behave like Abraham. When his son Isaac asked him, where's the wood? Here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the... Then they said, the Lord will what? And the Lord provided. Even though you had not seen it. Paul says it better in Romans chapter 4, 17 to 18. He says he never wavered. He believed in the God who calleth things that be not as though. Let that be your faith. Keep on saying those things. And very soon, you see the manifestation all the Lord has told you. It shall all come to what? Pass. And you join Solomon in saying that of all the good promises he made to his servant Moses, none of them, what? Failed. Full stop. Now, if you have any question, you can ask me. Yes, sir. Yes, I've seen your hand. Not that certain. Jesus came and said, ask for this one. It's in Matthew chapter 17. When he had gone up there to pray in Luke chapter 9, 28, he came and rebuked that demon. And they went to him and said, Jesus, why is it that we couldn't heal that epileptic boy and you managed to do so? He said, ask for this one. It goeth out by prayer or what? That's it. There are some difficult demons out there. Very difficult ones. So you have to... You see, when Mordecai went to Esther and warned him that Haman has decided to exterminate all of us, Esther told Mordecai, go and tell them that everybody should fast and what? Pray. As for me and my maidens, we are going to fast 3 days and what? 3 nights. And they did so. And the gallows that was meant for the Jews was used in hanging the man who did it. Let's go to Acts chapter 12, verse 5. When Peter had been arrested, and Herod has already killed James, they had only one weapon, prayer. And the whole night, we didn't hear the earth. The whole night, they did what? They prayed. And I like some of the translations over there. It says, fervent prayer, earnest prayer, persevering what? Prayer. Relentless. They kept hammering. That was the weapon left. So sometimes, let's forget about everything and tell the Lord, this is your word. This is what? Your word. Let me see what you do about it. On many occasions in the Bible, they had applied the same principle, enters word. Amen. So, uncle, my big brother, I'll tell you that, for example, the man who was healed by Peter at the beautiful gate, Jesus had gone through that gate several times, and we are told he was often brought there, isn't it? But because he wanted them to know that what he used in doing the healing, they also have the same thing. Peter, when he saw the man again, said, we've been seeing you here. You've been begging for money. As for the money, we don't have. But silver and gold, we don't have. But what we have, in the name of Jesus, what? And he rose, because the difference was that now he had the anointing in there. Amen. And Psalm 92 verse 10 says, you anoint me with fresh what? Oil. So every morning go for what? Fresh oil. And very soon, things will begin to shake. The doctors and the professors in Acts chapter 4 verse 13 says, even though Peter and co were unschooled, but they had worked with, that is it. So that's what I can say. Let's, you see, don't let us sit down and think once you become a Christian, everything will work. The woman in Mark chapter 5 told herself, if I'll touch the hem of what? Of his garment, I'll be healed. And the moment he touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, Jesus himself said, some power has gone out of me. And he turned around there, I will speak to you. Jesus, these people surrounding you, all pressing on you. How come you go to the... He said the hem, Even as you stand there, if somebody should touch the hem of this coat, will I feel it? But her faith drew power. But then, you see, power went out of Jesus to do what? Heal. So when the power goes out there, it must be replenished, isn't it? Every now and then. You must be on fire. We often wait till we're in crisis before... don't wait for crisis. Pray without... That's my advice. And as you pray without ceasing, you'll be increasing the anointing on you. You pray and things will happen. Amen. Let us humbly learn this principle and apply it. Praise the Lord. If you don't have questions, I'm interested in prayer. Let's apply what we've learned. You know it is not you, but your sister or your mother or your auntie is out there sick. What word are we going to apply? He says he sent forth his word. And the sick was what? It might not be some sickness. It might be a need. He says he will supply all our what? So, you send a word there. Somebody is trying to prevent you from receiving your blessing. Send the word of God there. The Lord shouldn't give them any peace of mind. The Bible says the heart and the mind of the king are in the hands of the Lord. Isn't it? He turns it the way he wants. So if they say no, tell the Holy Spirit, you are a very present help in times of trouble. Go and deal with them for me. They will change their mind. They will change. Hallelujah. Can we stand up for the next maybe 5 minutes? I need thee, oh, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come. I need you most gracious Lord. No time can be is a fall. I a friend we have. Oh.
coming to God in prayer.
In prayer indeed.
Oh, we are not, O gentle Savior, yeah. And while others thou art calling, do not pass.
Listen to me, it might be your daughters who are yet to marry. It might be your son who is going haywire. It might be some disease that has been disturbing you. But he says, if we abide in him and his words abide in us, what are you going to tell the Lord? If you've forgotten about everything, he says, by his stripes we are healed. So keep on saying it. It says, if you do not doubt in your head, but you would believe that what you are saying shall surely come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. And it says in verse 24, that when you pray, believe that you have received. Don't wait to receive. Believe that you have what? Received. So can I hear you pray in your own way? Go to him in faith. Believe that his word is true. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Without him nothing was made that was made. Without the word. Go to him this evening. It says we should enter his throne room with boldness to obtain mercy and to find grace. So be bold enough. Forget about the protocol. You have Jesus as your advocate in heaven, and you have the Holy Spirit as the advocate in you. And remember, you are not the one praying. Just believe. Believe that what you are saying. His ears are not closed. His hands are not too short to deliver. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Tonight we've learnt that there is no power in the word of God. The storm may roll. The winds might be blowing very hard. The floods will come. But in Isaiah 59:19 says, in the King James Version of the Bible, that in case the enemy should come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up standards. We are praying. It says his house shall be called the house of prayer. Descend with all thy gracious power.
Oh, come, Red Spirit. Spirit divine, come Holy Spirit, and make this hour descend with thy gracious power. O come, Holy Spirit.
The Bible says in Luke chapter 5 verse 17 that the power of the Lord was present to heal. In Mark 16:17-18 he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In the name of Jesus we shall lay our hands on the sick. So wherever the disease is, put your hand there. Wherever the disease is, just put your hand. Remember, your body is a temple of the living God. Paul says, aren't you aware that your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit? Put your hand there. And we're asking the Lord to do something for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, 15, he says, you take the sickness, every sickness, away. In Exodus 23, verse 25, he will bless our food and our water, and he will take the disease away. So tonight we are asking him, you should take every disease that is hidden anywhere, that you don't even know, that the doctors are saying that disease is incurable. Let us pray. That we've laid our hands as the Bible demands. The Lord should heal. The Lord should heal. He's the Lord who heals. We're asking him to take this disease away, this sickness away. Just pray. Hannah prayed, not with a very loud voice, and yet the Lord answered him. Hey. God heard her prayer. Father, take every known disease amongst us away. You are the Lord that heals. We want to thank you for taking those diseases away. Now, can you lift our two hands and commit this November and December, as we travel to the end of the year, let us pray this prayer strongly, powerfully. Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 3 says, the Lord who goeth ahead of us is like a consuming fire. Between now and the end of the year, anything that will come our way that might disturb our peace, the Lord should take it away. The Lord should take it away. The fire of the Holy Spirit should consume it. Any attack, any weapon that will be fashioned against us. Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 3. He is the one who goeth ahead of us. It says, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them. So pray that anything that will prevent you from reaching the end of the year, disease, attack, accident, sudden death, whatever, the fire of the Holy Spirit should consume it. On your business, on your home, on your children, on your husband, on your whoever, pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire that comes from the throne room of God, should consume. Let's sit down and thank God for this evening. Asida nina ye wote.
Jesus, your potency, Yami, Aye, Nina, Yehudi, Jesus, Yakuchani, Yanaba, Kansi, Onyamiza, Yeo.
Team of this church, we want to express our deepest gratitude to the Methodist minister who traveled all the way from the head office to this place. May the Lord replenish all that have gone out of him. May he continue to bless this church and pour on all of you the balm of Gilead, that every known disease that he took away should leave, should park and go, because Jesus took them away. Amen.